considered it a silent night, a holy night. Travelers jostled in the city gates. Weary fists pounded on closed doors, pleading on the outside, arguing from within, all to the same refrain, no room. Among the houses rang raucous Roman laughter, census takers with comfortable quarters and plenty of food and wine. There is little peace and less goodwill between stranger and villager here. Somewhere a dog barked, a lamb bleated, a woman moaned, and a baby cried. Out on the hillsides, exposed to the cold night, without even a stable for warmth, shepherds huddled around the fire, guarding their flocks against thieves and wolves. Suddenly, a light to split the darkness, a voice, a song, a chorus of angels. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, a child, a son, a shepherd, a king, a savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill to men. Awaken, O little town that cannot sleep. Hear the shepherd's words. The angel's message. And arise to a sound unfamiliar. The triumph of joy.
Good morning. All right, this morning we have the kids with us. And I just want you to know, kids, that I'm going to be asking some questions today. And you get to answer them too, right? This is not just like grown-ups' time. This is everybody's time. So if you're here and I ask a question, you're more than welcome to answer. Ready? Here's your first question. What is joy? It's kind of what we're going to talk about this morning. And I thought before we talk about it, we need to kind of figure it out. So talk with the people around you right now. Talk with the people around you and see if we can come up with some answers. And then I'll ask you to share some of those. All right, let's see what we can come up with. Joy is one of those words that a lot of very interesting answers in first service. So let's start over here. Section number one. Any answers for what is joy? Delight. That's a really good word. Anything else? Good, 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 good. Okay, section number two. The floor. Yes. Okay, so joy is a deeper thing. It goes more to your spirit, to what's inside you. Very good. Exponential happiness. That is a good one. Contentment. Very good, very good. Section number three. Yes, Anderson. It is one of the fruits of the spirit. Very good, very good. What else? What is joy? Janie? Consistent happiness. Interesting. The balcony. What do you got? Yes. Blissfulness. Didn't get that one first hour. That's very cool. That's very, very cool. All right. I think in some ways joy is hard to put words to, but I experienced joy this week. I just have to be honest. The earlier part of this week, I kind of went into a funk because I was going to teach on joy. And it's like, if there's not anything more ironic than that, I don't know what it is. And I was getting more and more down because, quite honestly, some people, a percentage of us, live in a life of joy, and it's really fun for the rest of us to watch. There's a whole bunch of us that it kind of comes and goes, and we live somewhere in the middle. And then there's some of us that, quite honestly, have stopped trying a long time ago. And you're the ones that were kind of breaking my heart. As I'm looking at this, it's like, oh, if I could do anything to help those of us that have given up on joy to re-engage, right? That would just be everything. So as I'm walking along and I'm trying to figure out the deep things of joy, I ran into John Adams at Publix, right? Now, John and Terry Ann just had a baby, and the baby's in the back section in the front row, now being pointed at. But, and here's a picture. For those that want more of a close-up, here's a picture of John, Terry Ann, and Ellie Marie. Yay! Now, quite honestly, I think in this picture, John still has a little post-traumatic stress going on. So I'm not really sure what's happening there. But at the grocery store, I have known John since he was in middle school. I have never seen John just overflowing with the level of joy that there was in that moment. And it's not, I mean, we're at the parking lot at Publix. It's not like there was anything else going on. It's just like when you have a baby, it brings you joy that is just, you know, hard to contain, right? So it is just flowing and flowing and flowing. So that for me really helped turn me around. The second experience I had this week was Tuesday. Deb and I went up to Don Richardson. Was at a hospice facility about an hour and change away. And I realizing it's kind of hard for people to go that far. It's like Deb and I said, like, oh, come on, let's just do it. Let's make some time and go do that. So we ran up to see Don. And quite honestly, I'm still kind of struggling in my funk of joy, right? And talking to Don, it was just so amazing, the level of his joy as he started talking about Jesus, right? And it was just radiant. I mean, Deb and I were both just stunned by the sincere joy that Don has in Jesus. And this morning at 6:20, he passed on. And he is now experiencing that joy in full. When Carol texted me this morning, when I wrote back, I just said, and now his joy is complete. There is something about being close to God that creates a level of joy in us that is, we can't reproduce it any other way. One last definition on joy. The Slowey boys were sitting up over in the front corner over here, and they said that joy is the name of their dog. So here's their dog. They were nice enough to text a picture of joy. So if you've never seen joy, right there. We're going to, now that I've done this message once in first service, my challenge is I have to end at the same place for you all so that tomorrow night we can finish it. But Deb said this is a two-parter because I was suspicious I wouldn't get it all in one message anyway. And it was nice not to feel the pressure of getting it all in one message. But first, before we pray, I want to talk about what joy isn't, right? I think part of the reason people have given up on joy is because they think it has to be the absence of difficulty. It has to be a moment in time where everything is okay and there's nothing that's not okay. I don't think that moment exists this side of standing face to face with Jesus. Life always has brokenness in it. And if you're waiting for life to not be broken, you won't have joy until you stand with Jesus. So let's look at a few verses. Joy is not the absence of difficulty. Luke 2, verse 10. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that is for a few of the people. Some of the people. Some of the people all the time and all the people none of the time, but you can't fool them up. No, is it for most of the people? No, I bring you good news that is for all the people. It is this message of joy, great joy that he has for everyone. Now, at the same time this is happening, are there a whole lot of horrible things that are happening? Yes, in this day and time, Rome is dominating. There's all kinds of atrocity. There's all kinds of human rights violations. But in the middle of all that, the angel says news, good news of great joy that's for all people. And in verse 18 of the first chapter of Matthew, it says that Mary was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. We were doing our Christmas reading. That's one of them that just jumped out at me. She was found to be with child. That's a really nice, soft way to say what was going on. How hard was it when Mary was found to be with child? How difficult was it? How painful was it? She was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And yet, in that moment, you know there's great joy. And all because she said, God, I don't get this at all. But if you say this is the way it's going to be, this is the way it's going to be. And I am willing to be any part of this you want me to be. So in the middle of some joy that she was experiencing, and if you don't believe me, she writes an amazing song known as the Magnificat. But she writes this amazing song in Scripture that's just voicing the joy that she has, and yet at the same time, there's all kinds of difficulty going on. But we shouldn't be surprised, because throughout the Gospels, this is true. In Matthew, if you fast forward to the end, in Matthew 28, it says, "So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy." Isn't that crazy? They've just gone to the tomb to embalm Jesus' body. Jesus is not there. The angel has spoken. Life has turned sideways. When they run back to tell the disciples, they are experiencing at the same time, simultaneously, fear and great joy. To think we can only have joy when life is okay is just not realistic. 1 Thessalonians. Paul says, and they're going through some really hard stuff, right? The Thessalonians. He says, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit." So Paul's going, okay, we're living our life before Jesus, and we're trying to live our life the way Jesus lives his life, and that is a life of joy. And you are following our example so that even though it's really, 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 really hard right now, you are experiencing joy in the Spirit of God. And he finishes by saying, "So that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." So Paul followed Jesus' example. They followed Paul's example. And now the other believers around them are going to follow their example. And what is the example? It is a life of joy in the middle of hardship. Was there ever a part of Jesus' life that didn't have pain connected to it? Not any of it. But he, again and again, experiences deep joy in the Holy Spirit. So it's not an absence of difficulty. It's not living in denial. Have you ever met those kind of uber happy Christian people that quite honestly are faking it? And the way they fake it is they just deny all the bad stuff's happening. They just won't let themselves look at all the bad stuff that's happening. And they do that so they can have a testimony of joy. How much does that undermine the testimony of a believer when they're just living in denial? Or next, joy is not something to be faked, right? How bad is it when to represent Jesus well, we fake joy? Or we can only produce joy if we ignore all the bad stuff that's happening. The world sees that and they doubt that we have anything of value. And then finally, there are those that reject joy. And joy is not something that God gives us so we can reject it. You know this is you if you've ever said or thought in your head, "Bah, humbug." Now, most Christmas stories are written for you because at some point in the story, they deal with this issue. But there's a lot of people on the face of this planet and a lot of Christians that have given up on joy. It's just easier, cleaner, neater to not mess with it. It's less disappointment in life if you just don't expect to have any real joy. And yet, as we're going to see, joy is this amazing gift from God that is for all the people. So let's pray and we'll see what God's word has to say. Lord God, as we come to you today, we ask that you would fill us to overflowing with your presence, that this Christmas season wouldn't be about us and wouldn't be about our presence and wouldn't be about our running around and doing it all right, but this Christmas would be about our relationship with you and the love and the joy and the peace and the hope that we have in you. So, Lord, for what we need to hear today, I trust that every one of us here has something that you want to say to us. I pray that you would use these moments to speak to each and every one of our hearts. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the cruel irony. Those with the greatest capacity for joy are the very ones who are most tempted to deny, fake, and reject it. Think about it. If it really is true that the deeper we experience pain and loss, the more capacity we have for joy. And quite honestly, I don't think Scripture ever says that. But you see it again and again and again where great pain and great joy are existing side by side. Some would say there is a correlation. I don't know that there's a correlation or not. But the people who have had great pain do have an amazing capacity for experiencing the opposite of that, which is great joy. The only thing that makes me question that is when I think of joy, I think of children. And I think children are quicker to get to joy than maybe adults are. They don't push back on it. They just let it happen. So I do think there's some aspect of joy that just requires a childlike heart. Yes, absolutely. But in the end, for those of us that are right now in this Christmas season experiencing great pain, first service we had in our Real Stories, a mom that stood and shared about her very recent miscarriage and kind of the journey of that. But how in not knowing where I was going in the message, in the middle of that journey was experiencing joy in Christ. And how God very graciously gave her and her husband a few days where someone else watched their other baby. And they could just be at home together and laugh together and cry together and kind of process the loss together. But in the middle of great heartache, there can be great joy. So, why does God bring joy to the world? Why did the angel say this is good news for all the people? Why does God do this? A few reasons I want to talk about. First, joy is life-giving. God loves to give us life. And life in him is a life of joy. This isn't just about feel-good moments. Christmas morning is filled with feel-good moments. They're not all joy. Sometimes life just feels good. And that's great. But joy is something far deeper. Proverbs 17. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Is it not easier to live your life from a position of strength when you're experiencing joy? When you're experiencing defeat and sadness and you're broken down, there's not a lot of strength to that. You may gut it out. You may push through the moment. But strength comes from, life comes from joy. A joyful heart is good medicine. So Romans 14, this is a primary verse. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking or giving Christmas presents or doing fun things or taking pictures of your food on social media. It's none of those things. But it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So how many of us think that a person that's living a righteous life before God experiences God at a deeper level? How many think that's true? Yeah, it's our expectation. It's kind of interesting. It doesn't always work out the way we expect. But part of the reason we want to live a righteous life is so that we can experience more of God, right? How many of us think that a person that is living a life of peace, a peace with people, a peace within themselves, and a peace with God, they experience God at a deeper level? Yeah. Well, what about the third one? The kingdom of God is a matter of eating and drinking. It's not that, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many of us think that living a life of joy actually brings us closer to God? We don't really think that way. We think, well, particularly if you're a faker, it's like, well, that doesn't work at all because I fake it all the time and it just doesn't work. I'm not talking about the fake joy. I'm talking about really living a life of joy. It brings you closer to God. And what's cool is it goes both ways. If you experience more of God, what does it do? It produces righteousness, peace, and joy. And if you live in righteousness, peace, and joy, what does it do? It connects you more with God. So being a church that says the most important thing to us is connecting people with God, this is probably important stuff. We need to stop thinking that joy is unattainable or that it has to be constant for us to be living in joy. No, it just has to be present. Life does go up and down. Yes, our experience of joy will go with that to some degree. But the bottom line is, are we living the life of joy that God has for us? So first, joy is life-giving. Second, joy is a good gift. How many of us know that God likes to give good gifts to his kids? Jesus, Sermon on the Mount, Sermon on the Plain. I think this was a regular part of his teaching. The Heavenly Father loves to give you good gifts. If you ask for a fish, he's not going to give you a snake. Right? That's what Jesus said. Kind of weird, kind of crazy. Who thought God would give you a snake? I don't know. But the bottom line is God loves to give us good gifts. One of his good gifts is joy. So my question, this is where the kids get to play too. What is it that you're going to give Jesus this Christmas? In the first service, I got a really strong, and I just would say this. Whose birthday is it? Who gets the presents on their birthday? Now, it's fun that we get to give each other presents. But if we all get presents and we don't give any presents to Jesus, how many think that's sick and wrong? Sick and wrong. Okay, so let's think through real quickly. What are some presents we can give to Jesus? And we'll do it by section again. Anybody over here, and again, it doesn't have to just be the kids, but what's a present you can give Jesus this Christmas? Obedience? Is that what I heard? Okay, obedience. Okay, down here, guys. What can we give Jesus? What do you think, Lucas?
I already know.
You already know? Okay. It's a secret. He's going to surprise Jesus with it. Our time. Very good, very good. Over here. What are you going to give Jesus this Christmas? Patience. Our love. Very good. And in the back. What are you going to give Jesus? Yes, this little guy right here. Happiness. That's a great thing to give Jesus. Okay, anything else? Real quick. Anything else? Generosity.
Joy.
Thank you very much. It's kind of the message. Okay. Whenever I ask a question, it's always the message. That's the answer. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Let me do this for you for just a second. Because in some ways, how do you get a gift for somebody that has everything? You know what I'm saying? Okay, so can we give God a surprise for Christmas? Okay, the rules are the rules. You can shake it, but you can't pull the paper back to see what's inside, right? It's got to be a surprise, right? Do you guys not have any rules at your house? Okay, growing up, we could shake it, but we couldn't open it until it was time to open it, right? The bottom line is we can't surprise God. Why not? He knows everything, which means we can't get him a new book. You can't give God a book for Christmas because he already knows everything. Right? We can't give him more knowledge. Can we give him more power? Why not? He's all powerful. That we can't give him more than he has. Okay. Can we give him a new place to go? Is there any place God isn't? You're getting there. The bottom line is there's no place that God isn't already, so you can't give him a place that he hasn't been. Are you ready? The one thing we can give him is joy. Now, we do it in a lot of ways. We do it by spending time with him. We do it by being obedient. We do it by loving him. We do it by all the things that we mentioned and could have mentioned more. But all of those things, what they give him that he doesn't have is joy. As we were with Don on Tuesday, Deb and I are talking, and last several times I've gone just with Don and I, and I'd love to think that Don just talked theology with me because, you know, I have such an astute theological mind that he knew I would get the stuff he was saying. But really, he does that with everybody. I had one of our guys went to visit him a couple weeks ago. And he came back to me and says, I think he pitched me 5 of his books. Because Don will start talking in conversation, and without going into all of it, he'll say, well, that's in that book. So in other words, if you want more on this topic, just read that book. And so as they were talking, Don kept referring to different books that he could read to get the fuller story. But as we were talking with Don this time, and this happened just before he started talking about his love for Jesus, where his joy was just overflowing. But he's talking about the fact that, no, God is all-knowing, and we can't give him more knowledge. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He has everything. But the one thing we can do is add to his joy because he is omniscient. Right now, if you're going through heartache, he feels your heartache with you. If you're going through great joy, he feels your joy with you. If you're kind of numb on the inside, he feels your numbness. God feels everything. But the one thing we can do is create more joy in his heart because of what we have done, right? How many of us that are parents or have been parents know the joy of a child that does something to please them, right? It is something that you can give that is irreplaceable. We can add joy to God. So it's our present to him. It's our gift to him. does he not also give that gift to us? Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. So there is joy that we get because of the way we live our life and all of that. That's all true, and we'll talk mostly about that. But I just want us to be clear. There are times that God just gives us joy when it makes absolutely no sense at all. We're not trying for it. We're not working on it. We're not deserving it. We're not none of that. It's just God wants to give us joy in his Holy Spirit. And that is an amazing, amazing gift. May the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So the bottom line is God wants to give us joy because it really empowers a lot of the other stuff that's going on in our life. 1 Thessalonians. For you received the word in much affliction. And again, the Thessalonians are going through a lot of hard stuff. But as the word of God is being taught them and spoken to them, in the middle of all of their affliction, it says, it happens with joy of the Holy Spirit. So as they are receiving the word of God, he is giving them the gift in return of joy. So joy is life-giving. Joy is a good gift. And God loves to give good gifts. If you want to give somebody something and it's just not in your budget, give him some joy. It's a great gift. And then third, joy is fruit. And we'll spend the rest of our time on this one. Joy is the fruit of a life lived in God. When you live your life in God, joy will be the result. When you stiff-arm joy, who are you stiff-arming? God. Because if you're living in him, joy is coming your way as a gift and as the fruit of your actions. So let's look at several of these. First, the fruit of the Spirit-filled life. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and a bunch more. Bottom line is, it doesn't say the fruits, it says the fruit. So all these things are included and they're all connected. So love and joy and peace, they're all connected. We can look at them separately. You can look at an apple and say, well, there's the skin and there's the seed and there's the insidey part and there's the stem. And you know, you can look and identify the different parts, but it's all connected. The fruit of God in your life, of the Holy Spirit in your life, is joy. It's just what you have. Now, kids, keep your parents honest on this one, but let's talk about it. When the kids fill their cups, most of them are filling their cups with fruit, cookies, crackers, cheese, and an occasional crunchy thing. Okay. So you bump into the kids, and they don't really spill much because that stuff's not liquid. But the adults are different. They take that little tiny styrofoam coffee cup, and they fill it with coffee. And the more full it is, the easier it is to spill, right? Now, I don't know of anybody at Vista that can walk around for any period of time at all and not have somebody else at Vista bump into them because that's just the way we are. We just don't really have a good sense of space, and we bump into each other all the time. So the fuller your cup, what happens? The more likely you're going to spill. And the more shallow your cup, you know, the less likely. So there's some of you that really do only pour half a cup of coffee because you don't want to spill it on your way to the sanctuary, right? But there's other of you that really don't care, and somebody else can clean up your mess, and you fill it full, and if somebody bumps into you, there it goes, right? I've seen you. You think you're getting it for yourself, but you're really just getting it for the carpet. Okay. But in the end, when you get bumped in life, what spills out? If you have a lot of joy in you, joy comes out pretty quickly. As we stood at Don's deathbed with him, joy was just spilling out. It wasn't like, well, okay, when Van and Deb get here, I'm going to show them how much joy I have. No, as he talked about Jesus, he was so full. It was so much to capacity. It just flowed out. But the less joy that's in there, the less joy that's going to show. So as believers, God wants to fill us with his Spirit to what point? Kind of partly full, completely full? No, full to overflowing, right? And with that presence of his Spirit in our life is joy. All right, so first you have the fruit of a Spirit-filled life. Second, you have a fruit of living for other people. When you live for other people, that brings you great joy. When you live for yourself, fake joy. Just saying. You might be happy with being selfish, but it's fake. We'll get there in a second. Philemon chapter 1, verse 7. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. So what's Paul saying to Philemon? He's going, the way you live your life for other people fills me with joy. Let me ask a question. Did it also fill the hearts of those other people with joy? Yes. And did it fill Philemon's heart with joy, knowing that he was living his life for other people? Right. So it's like a trifecta of joy that's a win every time. When you live for other people, you have joy, they have joy, and anybody paying attention has joy. When we heard the real story about, you know, Chrissy had misplaced her debit card and all the giving that went on as a result of that little, you know, chain reaction of events, everybody had joy. The people watching, the cash register lady, the guy that got to give everybody had joy. When we live for other people, the fruit of that is joy. Now, just because there's somebody that's still pushing back and thinking, I'm going to keep arguing this point so I can walk home today and not feel bad about the fact that I have no joy. You're thinking in your head, you know, but I get joy when I do stuff for myself. I get joy when I do what I do. I don't need other people. I don't need God. I'm just going to be, you know, bah humbug. Okay. Just to be clear, I have a verse for you that supports your argument. Proverbs 15:21. Folly is a joy to him who lacks sense. Yes, you can live a stupid life. And it can even make you happy. And according to this, give you some sense of joy. I would just call that fake joy. And somebody right now is saying, you shouldn't say stupid. I'm just saying that is the biblical meaning of the word folly. Okay. It's also the fruit of a believing life. When you live by faith, that produces joy. When you allow yourself to believe God. And again, what does Hebrews say? It's that we believe that God exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. That's the author of Hebrews. That's his definition of faith. When we're that person, we have joy. How well did Peter know Jesus? Pretty well. He was one of Jesus' big buddies, right? This is what Peter says later in his life. Though you have not seen him, not seen Jesus, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Glory is the manifest presence of God. The joy that you feel, you rejoice in joy. I don't think you can say it any higher than that, right? You have joy with joy. And the presence of God is right in the middle of that joy. See, Peter walked with Jesus, knew Jesus, went through all the hard stuff with Jesus, and in the end had great love for Jesus and great joy in Jesus. What amazed him were people that never knew Jesus, never saw Jesus, and don't see him right now, who have that same joy. For Peter, that's a demonstration of the reality of the gospel. These people have never seen Jesus face to face, and yet they have great joy. Guess what? That's every one of us sitting here in the room. If you have seen Jesus, talk to me later. Okay. A couple more. The fruit of an engaged life. One of the ways that we produce joy in our life, and all of these are ways that we produce joy in our life, that we have fruit in our life of the joy that God wants for us, is that we are engaged. Joy is not a passive reality. It is an active reality. It is the reality of power at work in your life. The Holy Spirit brings you joy, and the Holy Spirit is the power for our life. So joy is not a passive thing. It's a powerful thing. It's an active thing. Proverbs 15:23. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, because men usually don't have much to say. So when we have the right answer, we're just pretty happy about that. Okay, stick with me. And a word in season, how good it is. So how many of us know what it feels like when you have somebody come to you and you want to help them, and the words that you share with them really connect with their heart and make a difference in their life, right? Okay, this week I've had a couple opportunities to do that. One time it was like, oh man, God used the moment. It was great. The other time I thought, this is still in process, right? The bottom line is, it is a joy to engage. To say, nope, don't have time to get together with you. To say, oh, that's nice. And you move on. You don't take time to talk with people. You don't take time to engage with people. You don't produce any joy in your life because you don't give them any time. But to be able to be used by God, to have that apt word, how joyful is that? Okay, this is an important one. One last time with the kids. You help me out on this one. First service was so spiritual. You'll get what I'm saying in a moment. But think about this. This is what Jesus says. Acts 20, Paul is quoting Jesus. This is the only quote we have from Jesus that wasn't in the Gospels. It's actually from Paul. But obviously, he'd been told this by others. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Okay, so kids, work with me here. I want you to think about Sunday morning, Christmas, right? Is it make you happier? And right now, we're just going to talk about your feelings. Do you feel happier when you receive a present or when you give a present? Do you get the question? Okay, so when you run downstairs, and if you're on a first floor house, when you run out of your bedroom and to the Christmas tree, and you see the presents, whose presents do you look at first? Are you rummaging through to see, you know, like which one you're ready to give to somebody else? Or do you rummage through which ones you're going to get, right? Okay, I'm setting that up to see if I can get some more, edgy responses here. So let me just add, okay, right here, I've got some of my grandkids over here. So are you happier to give a gift or to receive a gift? What do you think? Give. 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 These people are taught well. That's all I'm saying. Lucas, give. Can I have a receive anywhere in the house? There we go. The adults are all going, yeah, baby, I'd rather get one than give one. All right. To be clear, this verse doesn't say it makes you feel better to give than to receive. It says you're what? More blessed. And our kind of working definition of being blessed is God showing up in your life. God revealing himself in your life. This is the point of the text. God shows up in your life when you give, not when you receive. When you receive, yes, you have joy from that. And let me tell you, kids, this is really important. When you open up the present, if it's not what you want, your parents are still looking for a joyful response. I'm not saying fake it. I'm just saying work with it and try to muster up some real joy in that gift that they worked hard to buy. Okay, just a little tip. All right. But the bottom line, as a kid, man, my mom, who is here this morning and now 92 years old, she just had a birthday. Woohoo! The bottom line is she would say it's more blessed to give than receive. And I'm going, no, it's not. I really like, you know, looking for all my presents and pulling them out and stacking them up and shaking them and doing all the, you know, pre-opening exercises. But it's not about how you feel. It's about how God shows up in your life. And a person that is engaged in other people, God brings them great joy. All right, one last one. The fruit of a pleasing life. Jesus said, I always do what is pleasing to God. That's what I do. It's God doesn't speak audibly much. And again, if God has spoken to you audibly, get back with me. But a couple times in Jesus' life, at the beginning, at the end, God says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I am pleased with my son. So does it bring joy to the Heavenly Father when the son pleases him? Off the chart. Which is why Paul says in Ephesians, and try to discern, to understand what is pleasing to the Lord. If you're trying to figure out what to do with your life, that's a really good place to start. Well, what could I do with the life that I have that would please God? And when you please God, it brings him joy and it brings you joy that you were able to give him that gift. And finally, Colossians 1, Paul says, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. We'll finish up our discussion of joy tomorrow night on Christmas Eve, but I'll give you just a glimpse of where we're going to end up. How important was joy to Jesus? Philippians tells us that it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. All the harsh things that Jesus went through, he went through to experience the joy on the other side of you being in relationship with his heavenly Father. He lived his life for joy. The question is, will we? So let's all stand and pray. Lord God, this is a great day in you. You never ask us to remember your birth. You ask us to remember the resurrection. You ask us to remember the crucifixion and all that you did on our behalf. But we like to celebrate your birthday. It brings us joy to remember how you became like us in our world. In all the brokenness, you walked right into the middle of it. And you lived your life for us. And it brought the Heavenly Father great joy. And Lord Jesus, I pray that we would follow your example. And if nothing else, we would raise joy on our own value system. That we would no longer think it's unnecessary. That we would see it as empowering, as something that would change our life. That would bring us life. That would bring us all that you have for us. A deeper and more significant connection with you. So, as we celebrate Christmas, through all the ups and downs and the sideways activities and behaviors and the running and those that still need to start their Christmas shopping, all of that, Lord God, bring us joy this season. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.